this mass has a particular character to it. The theme is prayer for all the faithful departed. So it's not like our typical thematic masses where we have a theme and that's what we reflect on. In this case, not only do we reflect on praying for all our loved ones who have died, but we actually do it. It's not only a theme, but it's an intention. Not something only to ponder, but also to put into practice, praying for the dead. So what we're doing in this Mass, what we're doing in praying for the dead, is we're participating in Jesus' own sacrifice of himself for all the living and the dead. The Mass is always Jesus' sacrifice. It's always Jesus' prayer to the Father, and we're joining in with that prayer. So that's why the Mass is the best offering we can make for the souls of the dead, because it's Jesus' own offering. Now, today's readings help us reflect a little bit on what we're doing here. After all, we can easily fall into the mistake of thinking that after someone dies, there's nothing more we can do for them. And that's what probably most people think. Certainly anyone outside the Catholic tradition would think once a person dies, well, they either don't exist anymore, or they're either in heaven or in hell, and so they're beyond our help. But the Catholic tradition reminds us, no, there is something we can do for them, because we are all one body, those in heaven, those still being purified in purgatory, those on earth. We're all one family under God, and we each have a part to play for the good of all. And today's first reading actually gives us an insight into this. This is the third letter of John, very short letter. And in this passage, John commends the disciples for helping out those who are promoting the gospel, the missionaries, the preachers. And he says, you ought to support these people. You ought to support those who are doing the work of the church so that you can be co-workers in the truth. So it's not only those who are doing the work of the church in the obvious sense, anyone who supports them is a co-worker. Many of you, I think, especially in the choir, were helping out in the distribution of the ayuda this past week or two. Well, it was not only those of you who actually gave food to the poor, but anyone who helped prepare for it, anyone who helped plan for it, anyone who made donations for it, anyone who prayed for it, everyone becomes a cooperator in this work of serving the poor. So this first reading tells us we all have a part to play. I was in the States this past month, and a couple of examples of this come to mind for me. In one case, I was talking to a man who has done a lot of volunteer work in helping Anuim do its mission. And I was saying, you know, you do a lot for us. What can we do to give you some sign of our gratitude? You don't get anything for this. It's true, he would not accept any payment. He doesn't want any public acknowledgement. And I said, well, you know, we're in debt to you. You don't get anything for all the hours of work you're putting in the service of the community. And he said to me, no, I do get something out of this. And I said, what do you get out of it? He said, I will never go to the Philippines, but my service here, my hidden service here, helps support the work that's being done there. And so this is my way of participating in the service of the poor. I said, well, that's a very good insight that man had. It's exactly what, he might not have thought of this reading, but it's exactly what St. John says in this reading. Those who support those who are doing the work of the church are co-workers with the work of the church, co-workers in the truth. That's one example. Another example came to my mind when I was visiting the parish of my sister. I got there and I was only there to visit the family. I wasn't there to do any appeal for funds or even to help out. But the parish priest asked me to say one of the masses, and so I did. And many of the parishioners, many of them are Filipinos, when they heard that I was serving in the Philippines, they just spontaneously came up to me and gave me money. I walked out of that parish with hundreds of dollars. I said, oh, I didn't ask for any money, and I didn't tell them that they can be co-workers in the truth. They knew it simply by intuition. If someone is doing good work and you support him or her, you become a co-worker. Now, let's extend this. Like I say, that's kind of in the instinct of anyone with faith. We know that we're all part of this together. And no one can do it all. In fact, no one can do very much at all. But all of us do a little part, and together we are doing the work of God in the body of Christ. Now, let's extend this beyond this world. Not only can we help one another do the work of Christ here, but we can be co-workers in helping those who have already died and who are being purified. This is God's gift. God doesn't need us to be co-workers. He can do it all himself, but he wants us to participate in his work. That's why he invites us to pray. That's why he invites us to sacrifice. That's why he invites us to the Mass. And that's why he tells us to pray for those who have died, because he wants us to have a part in the great work he's doing and has already done for those who have died. So we have a part to play, co-workers in the truth, co-workers for eternal life. That's what this Mass is all about. Now, in the Gospel, Jesus tells a parable about the necessity of praying always without becoming weary, without becoming pagod. And perhaps, since it's already November 12, pagod na kayo, praying for the dead. Because you started praying for the dead in at the end of October, and perhaps visited the cemetery November 1, November 2, praying for the dead. The first 8 days of November are especially dedicated praying for the dead. But the church says the whole month of November is praying for the dead. In fact, all time, in every Mass, we pray for the dead. Jesus tells us not to grow weary. Pray always without growing weary. And he gives this very funny example of a widow petitioning an unjust judge. You know this story because it was on a Sunday Gospel a couple of weeks ago. If that widow can persevere in pestering that unjust judge, all the more should we be able to call out to God, who is not unjust, an unjust judge. He's a loving Father. So we have every reason to be confident in God, because he's not unjust. He doesn't put us off. He hears us. He responds to us. We are the ones who don't know what he's up to. We're the ones who might experience, it might seem as if he's being unjust to us, or he's not listening to or answering our prayers. But the fact is, he is just, and he, how does it say here? When his chosen ones call out to him day and night, will he be slow to answer them? He will not be slow. He will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. Speedily. Now, we don't know what speedy means to God, because we think it means instant. When we want to get what we ask for right now. Jesus leaves us with this question: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? If we give up on prayer, that means he won't find faith in us. If we give up on putting our trust in God, it means he's not finding faith in us. But when we persevere, that means we have faith. Persevere in prayer, persevere in faith, persevere in confidence in our participation, in our being co-workers to help our loved ones who have died. So as we enter into this solemn prayer, this Mass for all our faithful departed, we do not grow weary. We do not give up. We strengthen our faith, and we strengthen the faith of one another for the good of all our brothers and sisters, both here in this life and in the next.